anyone who said that Soleimani was a great guy, you need to stay away from them. And I can't emphasize this enough, Sarah, was pure evil. He was a butcher. He killed hundreds of thousands of individuals in his career. Understand something about Soleimani. He paid homage to the deep state before he paid homage to Iran. The bigger hat he wore, rather than the commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force, the bigger hat he wore was head of terror operations for the deep state.
Cannabis is the fastest growing industry in the U.S. Don't miss out on all the fantastic opportunities that exist. I have three free tools for you to cash in on the wave. The 2020 jobs infographic, the free ebook on the 500 hottest jobs in the industry, and the CBD ebook. Look for the links below or at sarahwestall.com under shop. Remember, these are 100% free to you.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dave Janik coming back to the show, and we are going to deep dive into the corruption of the deep state. We are going to talk about Soleimani from Iran. I'm going to tell you what when I was in China, what I was hearing from people and what the Middle East thinks about him, the propaganda about him, and then what the information that Dave has about Benghazi and all these other factors about this guy. And you'll be able to see the huge gulf between the propaganda and the truth. And it's actually very frightening. And how he was the main hatchet force for the deep state. And it's just that he was working for Hillary Clinton and Obama. Crazy, crazy information about that. And then we're gonna dive into General Vallely and how he kept World War III from happening when Obama was in office, and then how he was set up by the deep state, just like General Flynn was, and how he got himself out of that, and how these characters work. And if you haven't learned by watching this, he calls it a goat rodeo, but you can call it whatever kind of farce you want with this impeachment. It's so obvious they're just making stuff up to get Trump out of office. You might not like Trump, but if you can't tell this stuff that they're doing isn't made up, then you're too far gone. I mean, I don't even know if there's anything to save you, because it's just so obvious. And we discuss that. And then we talk about the corruption. And are these indictments, I mean, is anything ever going to happen to these bad guys? Where are we at with this? Because so many people are getting frustrated. And, you know, I'm one of them. I'm just so tired of seeing this level of corruption and nothing ever happening. And I think we're like a fuse ready to go off. If nothing ever happens, I mean, what is worth saving? And we talk about that we need to clean up this corruption. We are way past the time that these criminals need to go down. And if people can't see it, then they're past. I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore. And it's because we're so censored too. People like me who are getting this information out, we're so censored that the average person, they don't know how corrupt it is and how these criminals really do need to be taken down. So we discuss that. And he's really quite the cheerleader and very optimistic. And I like hearing that, because he gives me some optimism. And he's one of those people that really helped me to keep going in this journey. Because, you know, it's difficult when we're censored and we're seeing all this stuff that we're seeing and we're censored on top of it. It's difficult to keep up and to keep going. And he's one of those that just keeps, you know, help. He's really positive, and I really appreciate that. So this is a really good interview with Dave. And if you aren't subscribed to his Operation Freedom channel, he has the best guests. You got to go check him out at davejanda.com. I really highly recommend it. And I also want to tell you, I've been covering, if you haven't noticed, the virus that's going on in China. And people are saying it's not that bad, and I hear it's even worse. I gotta tell you, I haven't seen anything like it's unprecedented in the world what China is doing, shutting down these cities and shutting down traffic. Why would a country hurt themselves from a from a commercial standpoint, the amount of money and cutting themselves off their factories, I mean, if this wasn't really, really, really serious, I have a really hard time believing that. I think it's one of the most serious things that we've ever had to deal with. And I mean, based on their behavior and the way China's government is dealing with this, it just seems incredibly serious. And so I think we need to take it as such, as it is one of the most imminent threats that we have, until we learn otherwise, because governments just don't behave the way they're behaving unless it is. So again, I keep telling people this, build up your immunities and take that we have C60, it's a Dr. Joe. I'm gonna keep referring to him so that people understand. He says it builds up your immunities by at least 70%. That C60, it's a best out there to build up your immunities. You can do other things too. You know, you can search for it on DuckDuckGo, and you can see the top 10 ways you can booster your immunities. They don't put C60 on there, even though it's the number one way, but there are other ways you can boost your immunities. Because if you get it, likelihood you could still get it. No matter how healthy you are, you can still get it. But having really strong, solid immunities, you'll be able to fight it. And that's what we're looking for. Most healthy people will be able to fight it and it won't be that big a deal. It'll be the ones who are compromised, their immune system is compromised, you're sick already, or you're on too many pharmaceutical drugs. Dr. Joe has this whole program to help you get off these pharmaceutical drugs. So look for those shows that I did on the virus, you know, the fact that it's weaponized and all these things. And so for those of you that are looking at that, you can go to sarahwestall-shop. Under shop, I have coupons for you. If you're a patron, you can get 10% off. And now I'm saying, I always say don't share it if you're a patron, because I'm trying to keep it exclusive for patrons. But for my patrons who have loved ones who really need it, please share the coupon with them as well. Anything to get people to use something that'll help their health. So let's now get into my interview with Dr. Dave Janda. Dave, thank you so much for rejoining the program.
It's an honor to be on your platform, Sarah. Thank you for everything that you do. You are an incredibly courageous warrior, and I thank you for all the time and effort you put in on behalf of every American and every person of the world.
Well, thank you, Dave. I mean, same to you. I know the effort that you put in, and I know we're both being smeared quite a bit because we're bringing out truths that are hard to hear and hard to believe, frankly, right? I mean, it's hard to hear some of these things. And I got to tell you, I want to talk to you about the Iran Soleimani deal, because as you know, I was in China for a while. And while I was in China,
yes,
I happened to be with people who, there half of us didn't really know much about him, and the other half thought he was a hero, and that he was, the Middle East and a lot of other people thought he was responsible for taking down ISIS, and that for the United States to take him out is such a horrible act. And so I was sitting there going, gosh, none of this makes sense to me. And then I started getting information that Donald Trump was blackmailed to take him out. And I started getting all these weird things. But after talking to you and doing some research, you know, there's a lot more to this story that people really don't understand. And I think it points to something absolutely massive. You know, we already know there's all this massive corruption, but this is a big deal. So can you talk about what the true background is of this character?
So the information I present are from folks that I know for decades, associated with the United States military, the State Department, and intelligence agencies. Anyone who said that Soleimani was a great guy, you need to stay away from them. Soleimani, I can't emphasize this enough, Sarah, was pure evil. He was a butcher. He killed hundreds of thousands of individuals in his career. He came into power in 1978, and he lasted till President Trump eliminated him on, January 2nd of 2020. He became the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which has been, and the subdivision called the Quds Force, And those organizations had been labeled terrorist organizations. And he was the head of it. He was a hardliner. He was a hardliner for death and destruction and chaos. So when folks say that he wore the hat of the commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, that's true. And they'll say, and he killed folks, individuals that were in ISIS. I'm sure he did. But to give him credit for ISIS being decimated is really giving him, I'll be kind, incredible too much credit. Okay. It was multifactorial that brought down ISIS. Russians, United States through Trump, as opposed to Obama, who actually weaponized ISIS through the weapons running operation that came out of Benghazi, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And the Kurds and some individual military and intelligence agents, organizations, if you will, within the Middle East that led to the destruction of ISIS. But did Soleimani kill some members of ISIS? Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. But that was part of his con. People say, well, Soleimani, you know, he was a Shia because he's from Iran. And ISIS were Sunnis, and that's why there was this hatred. Understand something about Soleimani. He paid homage to the deep state before he paid homage to Iran. The bigger hat he wore, rather than the commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force, the bigger hat he wore was head of terror operations for the deep state. This guy murdered his way around the world from Thailand to North America to Europe to the Middle East. He killed probably more Muslims than he did Christians in his 40 plus year career. He was the person who was behind the decimation of Iranian freedom fighters. He killed thousands. And that was just an appetizer for this guy.
Well, share how he was a puppet or a tool. Well, not just a puppet. He was one of their greatest, you know, chainsaws for the deep state. And he took direction from them. And this is what people don't understand, how the deep state works. Explain how awful this is. And he might have been with the Iranian, but that was second priority for him. He was a deep state monster. So talk about that.
Well, the business model for the deep state is death, destruction, and chaos. And that was his MO. Whether it was the implementation of IEDs in Iraq and Afghanistan and around the Middle East, or whether it's when he initiated a bombing, a murder that didn't come to pass, of the Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C., or whether it was Benghazi. Now, why do I go to Benghazi? Because Benghazi was really a deep state operation. What we have discussed with Charles Woods, the father of Ty Woods, who was one of the four Americans killed in Benghazi, with Michael Ingmeyer, whose nephew, Sean Smith, was killed in Benghazi, with two whistleblowers who have come forward that we've had on our platform and you've discussed as well, who were in the field of operations that night with General Paul Vallely, Admiral Ace Lyons, General Tom McInerney, who sat on the Citizens Commission from Benghazi and analyzed all the information that came in from multiple sources. Or whether it's General Michael Flynn, who testified in front of Congress behind closed doors under oath about what Benghazi was all about. And that's precisely one of, if not the biggest reason, one of the largest reasons General Flynn was targeted immediately after President Trump took office. You see, Benghazi is a microcosm of how the deep state operates. So here's what happened. The plan of the deep state is they wanted to get rid of Gaddafi. He had flipped on them. He was actually turning in terrorists. Terrorists are a critical arm, whether they're Hamas or whether they're Al-Qaeda or whether they're ISIS. They are a critical arm of the deep state. They are an arm of the tentacle of the deep state. Death, destruction, and chaos. Gaddafi flipped. Yeah, he turned over his weapons of mass destruction. Well, that doesn't go over well with the deep state because they needed that boogeyman out there. Hence the greater emergence of North Korea down the line after Gaddafi, right? In addition, he was talking about leaving the central banking system and creating their own currency with a gold-backed dinar so they wouldn't be dependent on a reserve bank currencies, paper currencies that the deep state makes. It's their money spigot, if you will. It's their financial spigot. And Gaddafi was talking about organizing other nations in Africa to join into this new currency development and this new infrastructure development. I'm not a Gaddafi fan. He was a horrible guy. He killed a lot of people. He was brutal. But, and this is confirmed to me, General Valley, Admiral Lyons, General McInerney, that he had in fact flipped. And they couldn't handle that. And that's why they decided he had to go. Because he had a lot of natural resources, oil, he had a huge stash of gold and silver. He had a lot of infrastructure at play that they wanted to get a hold of for their friends in the deep state. So what they did is they initiated an operation. Christopher Stevens, the ambassador to Libya, who died in Benghazi, was really, first of all, he was the first U.S. ambassador to Al-Qaeda. And he was the front man for Barack Obama's administration and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State to funnel arms to Al-Qaeda to kill Muammar Gaddafi. What did Hillary say? We came, we saw, and we killed. Ha, ha, ha. Right?
That was after he flipped and he was actually doing great things at that point because they got him where they, the good guys had him where they wanted him. Now, how does Soleimani,
So how does he come into this? So Stevens is in charge of weaponizing Al-Qaeda to take out Gaddafi. That happens. Then he is tasked by the Obama administration to reverse those flow of arms, get those arms back, funnel them into Turkey. The last person he met with was a dignitary from Turkey, and funnel them into Syria to weaponize that benevolent organization, ISIS. Why? To cause more death, destruction, and chaos, take control of the oil fields in Syria, and essentially pull a Libya on Syria. The problem is Stevens got cold feet. And Stevens started to talk about what was going on to people outside of the Obama-Clinton orbit, and they needed to stop that because an election was coming up. And they could not let that get out. So what did they do? They were behind what happened in Benghazi. A terrorist attack occurred in Benghazi that led to 4 Americans dying and 30 Americans almost dying. That if it weren't for Ty Woods and Glenn Doherty and the other patriots that fought against the terrorist attack, would have also been killed. Obama and Clinton had to tie up loose ends. And that is why when you talk to the whistleblowers that were in the field of operations, they said, one, we knew a terrorist attack was going to happen. We knew. But we were told, don't do anything. And when the terrorist attack happened, they were calling for air support because they knew they had teams that could get in there and drones they could put down there. They were told, stand down. And after the attack, they were told not to follow those terrorists that they had lined up, where they knew who they were. So the question is, if you look at the attack, there was essentially, it wasn't based on a video, as Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama had said and maintained. It was a concerted attack, first mob style, and then a more military, a more military operation was involved, where mortars were being used, targeted mortars. That's how Ty and Glenn died. Ken Timmerman, who intelligence analyst, wrote a book, and he was quoted in the New York Post. And this is an article actually from Jim Hoft, revealed former al-Quds leader Soleimani planned and financed terrorist attack on U.S. Benghazi consulate, resulting in 4 dead Americans. Soleimani was responsible for hundreds of American deaths in the region. General Qassem Soleimani planned and financed the attacks on the U.S. consul in Benghazi. According to author Ken Timmerman at New York Post, Soleimani has orchestrated attacks in everywhere from Lebanon to Thailand. The U.S. Department of Justice accuses him of trying to hire a Mexican drug cartel to blow up the Saudi ambassador to the United States while he was in Washington, D.C. My sources, meanwhile, say Soleimani was involved in an even more direct attack on the United States, the killing of Ambassador Chris Stevens and 3 other Americans in Benghazi. That was also confirmed by investigative journalists Fanning and Jones with their sources in military intelligence, and they also published an article on that.
Well, how do we get past then the massive propaganda in the Middle East that the United States is this big evil empire that just killed our hero that took down ISIS? Well, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like we just
If you look at some of the...
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you look at some of the independent reporting, Sarah, there were people that after Soleimani died were actually rejoicing in Iran, in Iraq. There are pictures of them pulling down his posters.
Well, and that's the problem. And that's, you know, when Alex Jones says it's an information war, he's absolutely right.
Right.
I mean, this is the kind of information war. They have gotten to the point where they're using every single weapon they can to make Trump look bad.
That's right.
To make these guys look bad. And they don't care who they sell out.
And the night this happened, they were saying, this is the beginning of World War III. And I came out and I said, no, this potentially will lead to peace and negotiations with Iran. Everyone assumes that the leader of Iran, Khamenei, was getting along quite well with Soleimani. Maybe that isn't the case, Sarah, and maybe that wasn't the case. It could be that the United States, as they tried to open negotiations with Iran, the block wasn't with the mullahs. It could be the block was with Soleimani, who was then going to the mullahs and said, listen, I control the military, okay? I'm the butcher of the Middle East. If you, head of operations for the deep state, terror operations speaking, if you try to negotiate with Trump, you're gone. I'm going after you. And the question always comes up, how did we get the coordinates of where Soleimani was and when he was going to be there? Well, it could have come from our intelligence agencies, but it also could have come from someone inside Iran. And I believe what we're going to see over the weeks and months is you're going to see, and I believe it's already happening behind the curtain, that I believe you are going to see a different Iran deal and negotiations occurring between the Trump administration and players within the Iran government. The night Soleimani died, I want to read this. I sent a note to Charles Woods, the father of Ty Woods, and 2 of the whistleblowers that were in the field of operations that night. And here's what I said. I believe what happened tonight in Iraq was a direct result of your efforts in bringing the truth forward on Benghazi. Soleimani is dead tonight because of your courage. Ty and Glenn just sent their message to the world. It is a safer, happier new year already. Charles Woods responded, "Dear Dave, you're absolutely right. Because of your interview, the whistleblowers were able to come together. If you would like, you can share the following text to the public. As father of Navy SEAL Ty Woods, who was killed in Benghazi, Libya, I would like to personally thank President Trump for his clear and decisive action to rescue the Americans under attack at our U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. If Donald Trump had been president on September 11, 2012, instead of Obama or Mrs. Clinton, my son Ty would be alive today. Respectfully, Charles Woods, father of Navy SEAL Ty Woods." I sent Charles' note to me to a friend of mine who is, and I cannot say that this person's name, formerly very high up in military intelligence, a very well-known individual. And here was his response. "Dave, very powerful words from someone who has had to live with the tragic loss of a son because of corruption and incompetence. Killing Soleimani was a long time coming. Many of us wanted to go after him over the years, and the Obama administration denied those opportunities. President Trump's actions sent a message to all the thug dictators around the world. The United States will no longer take the BS from them any longer. God bless America and our men and women in uniform." The whistleblowers responded, "Dave, Soleimani was a very bad person, and he deserved what he got. I'm interested to see the finance records linking him. That evidence should be made public, especially now by the State Department and Department of Defense." I'm sorry. Sometimes they have to bury it.
Well, they can't bury this. They need to get that out there. Go ahead.
I'll help work towards this no matter where it leads. Accountability and transparency has to be the way moving forward. Now, right after that, on January 3rd, Susan Rice, the former national security advisor to Barack Obama. Now, you heard what that military intelligence leader said. Former NSA Susan Rice on Soleimani. The Obama administration was not presented with an opportunity by our intelligence community or by the U.S. military to strike Qassem Soleimani. I forwarded Susan Rice's statement to that former leader of military intelligence community. And here's what they said, quote, "Dave, they have no soul. Multiple opportunities were present over 8 years. Now I take it another step, Sarah. Obama did more than just look the other way at Soleimani. The Iran deal gave him amnesty. As part of the annex to the Iran deal, Soleimani was granted amnesty by removing him from the Treasury Department designated terrorist he had been on since 2007. This from Sarah Lee at Red State. I went back. The Iran deal came into fruition July 14th, 2015. On July 15th, there was an article of 2015 headline from Con Coughlin from The Telegraph. Obama's Iran deal has just granted an amnesty to the world's leading terrorist mastermind. As head of the Quds Force in Iran's Revolutionary Guards, Qassem Soleimani is widely regarded as one of the world's leading terrorists. Now Barack Obama has effectively granted him an amnesty. Soleimani, the head of the elite's Quds Force in Iran's Revolutionary Guards, fully deserves his reputation as one of the world's leading terrorist masterminds. So you can imagine my amazement when leafing through the more obscure annexes of President Barack Obama's, quote, historic, end quote, deal with Iran, specifically page 86 of the annex, to be precise, I found that Soleimani, Mr. Soleimani, as the White House no doubt now refers to him, has been granted an amnesty and taken off the list of proscribed Iranians, together with a number of senior members of the Revolutionary Guard. There are some folks that said, Sarah, he was on a peace mission. Sarah, this guy couldn't spell peace, let alone institute a peace mission. He was pure, unadulterated, evil, who was a butcher, who killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of individuals in his, quote, illustrious, end quote, career as head of operations for the deep state.
Wow.
The deal.
And I don't think I don't think people understand how, well, I know that a lot of people have been snowed by our media and by the deep state and by all these people thinking this guy was a hero. And that is scary.
Sarah, the United Nations, another, if you will, tentacle that's associated with the deep state, they couldn't even take this guy. The Iran deal went into effect July 14th, 2015. It was adopted immediately. And on July 20th, 6 days after the deal went into effect, the UN Security Council issued a resolution 2231. Let me read this. Soleimani had a cameo role in the controversial UN report in December, actually, of 2019, 4 years later, as he had in previous reports. On December 10th, 2019, the United Nations Security Secretary General Antonio Guterres submitted to the Security Council his eighth report on implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 2231, which was adopted on July 20th, 2015. That resolution enabled the council, and the council banned Soleimani from any travel outside of Iran. In paragraph 14 of the December 2019 report, Guterres noted the following, quote, information from Iraqi media outlets suggests Major General Soleimani has undertaken travel inconsistent with the travel ban provisions of the resolution. I call upon all member states to diligently implement the restrictive measures imposed on the individuals and entities, including Soleimani, on the list maintained pursuant to Resolution 2231 adopted on July 20, 2015. A more direct reference followed in paragraph 38, quote, during the reporting period, information surfaced regarding additional travel by Major General Soleimani. According to Iraqi media outlets, he traveled a number of times to Baghdad in October 2019, violating the UN Security Council Resolution 2231. Let me tell you something. If this guy was on a mission for peace, the UN sure didn't know about it, because they were hooting and hollering days before he was wiped off the face of the earth that he had no business traveling outside of Iran because he was the leading terrorist in the world.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think that's what people need to understand, is just how terrible this deep state is. And you did an interview with General Paul Vallely, and I think that interview is very important for people to hear and to understand what it is that we're dealing with here. He actually stopped World War III, and he was trying, Obama and the deep state wanted a World War III, and he was instrumental in stopping that. And then he was set up by the deep state, but managed to find his way out of it. Can you explain what he shared and what people need to know about this story?
What Paul Vallely shared is toward the end of the Obama administration, he was trying to kick sand in the face of a number of Middle East leaders to try to get things going, in particular with Russia and with the Middle East countries being caught in the middle. General Vallely and a number of other individuals ended up going to the Middle East. And General Vallely, in particular, sat down with Putin's right-hand guy in the Middle East. And asked them and spoke with them and consulted with them about, look, let's try to work this out around all this other stuff that's going on. Don't take the bait from Obama, because it was getting very close to military intervention kicking in. It was one one mistake away. And I truly believe, based on what I've heard and know, that General Vallely and his group got things calmed down to the point where they could make it so that the bait would not be taken by the Russians. Military leaders talking to military leaders. You know, it's really funny, Sarah. Many of the military leaders I know, they abhor war. That's not to say there aren't some that love it.
Yeah, they see it firsthand. Yeah.
And they want to avoid war at all costs. And it's interesting because military leaders negotiating with military leaders, I believe, is actually a more secure negotiation for peace than politicians negotiating with politicians.
Yeah, because politicians are like, if their kid, I got to say one thing. Politicians would be a lot better at negotiating if their children are on the
front
line.
Well, that'll never happen. But you're right.
I know, but I'm just saying.
When's the last time you saw a Rothschild, a Rockefeller, a Czar Pincus, Warburg? When was the last time? Jamie Dimon. When was the last time you saw one of their kids in harm's way?
Exactly. That's my point.
Right.
Until they're in harm's way too, they have no credibility.
And it's an
keep going.
And it's an accurate point you make. Paul came back to the United States, and then on the show last week, Paul spoke about the fact that he was set up by the deep state and the FBI. He got a call. We want to meet with you. There's some things for the security of the country and for the future of the country we want to sit down and talk to you about. And as you know, he met this person in a park not too far from his home.